Kremlin accuses the U.S. Embassy in Moscow of fueling demonstrations in support of opposition figure Alexei Navalny. Scotland's First Minister says she plans to hold a referendum on independence from Britain, as an opinion poll shows a majority of Scottish people favor breakup of the U.K. And the United Nations says warring sides in Yemen have begun a fresh round of negotiations in Jordan on a new prisoner swap deal. Thanks so much for being with us. First story this hour takes us to Russia, where the Kremlin has accused the U.S. Embassy in Moscow of interfering in Russia's domestic affairs after the mission issued an alert over recent protests in the country. A spokesperson for the Russian president said the U.S. Embassy indirectly supported the violation of Russian law and what he called unauthorized protests. Dmitry Peskov said a similar move from the Russian embassy in the U.S. would have created a feeling of discomfort for Washington. Peskov at the same time said his country is ready for setting dialogue with the U.S.
This will be the dialogue where, of course, differences will have to be stated to a greater extent, points of differences. But at the same time, a dialogue is a possibility to find some rational kernels, the little parts where our relations are getting closer.
The Kremlin spokesman added that President Vladimir Putin will respond in kind if the U.S. administration is ready for such a dialogue. Relations between the two sides soured, partly due to allegations of Russian meddling in U.S. elections. Things have also become tense over the detention of Russian opposition figure Alexei Navalny. He was detained in Moscow last week upon arrival from Germany. Navalny's detention sparked protests across Russia on Saturday. The U.S. Embassy had issued an alert and recommended American citizens in Russia avoid the protests. We're going to cross over to Moscow, joined by Marina Kortanova, bringing us up to date with the latest. Marina, what's the latest? What's going on?
Good evening. So the U.S. Embassy in Moscow posted detailed information on its website regarding the time and locations of the planned mass rallies which took place yesterday all around Russia. Russian presidential spokesman Dmitry Peskov has described these statements as interference in the country's domestic affairs. The U.S. Embassy claimed to monitor the protests across Russia and accused the Russian authorities of suppressing free speech and free assembly. So Peskov said that it is hard to imagine if Russian embassy had reacted in such manner when the United States experienced civil unrest, and then it would have caused a certain discomfort in Washington. He said he always feels like recommending counterparts to imagine themselves in such a situation. And yesterday, Russian Minister of Foreign Affairs made statement that such comprehensive information goes beyond the concern about the well-being of U.S. citizens in Russia and goes in line with Washington's provocative and dogmatic policy of encouraging protests in countries whose governments are seen by the United States as undesirable. And any attempts to provide such coverage regarding unauthorized rallies will be deemed as blatant interference in Russia's domestic affairs and will provoke an appropriate response. Foreign Ministry spokesman Maria Zakharova told that the U.S. Embassy in Moscow published the protest routes. I saw it myself yesterday. I checked their website. There was protest routes in Russian cities and injected the information about a march on the Kremlin. So she noted that it can be only imagined what could have happened if Russia's embassy in Washington, for example, had published a map of protest routes with destinations, for example, at the capital. And this kind of orienteering should have ended up with a global hysteria of American politicians, including Russophobic slogans, the threats of sanctions, and the expulsion of Russian diplomats. And thousands, as you know, thousands in major cities of Russia yesterday joined protests in support of jailed opposition figure Alexei Navalny, and with some scuffle and detentions taking place. As you know, Alexei Navalny is a Russian opposition leader who heads the Anti-Corruption Foundation. He films investigations. Two of the latter caused the greatest resonance in Russian society. One of them was connected with his persecution and the chain of actions of the Russian authorities to poison him, the last one released 4 days ago and gaining by now 80 million views on YouTube, is connected with the construction of the palace of President Putin by the Black Sea and the history of the bribe, the corruption schemes of the state authorities of Russia. These and long growing dissatisfaction with the domestic policy of the authorities in the country served as trigger. So Kremlin excoriates Navalny's expose of Putin's palace as huge myth, and the files that report contains fake that aims to attract a large number of viewers. In comments on so-called revelation about Putin's alleged palace today, Dmitry Peskov, the Kremlin spokesman, noted that it is beneficial to those who want to continue rocking the boat. However, in fact, this is not happening. Peskov denied the viral report claiming that an opulent palace in southern Russia belonged to President Putin, but he also declined to discuss and explain to the nation its possible owner as well. If Peskov is telling the truth and the Kremlin knew that such material was being prepared against the president, then why did they not pay ahead of the curve or at least not prepare any counter arguments? So this question interests the Russian society. And a conceptual war cannot be won by simply repeating, "This is not mine." It is very similar to the situation when a person is planted with drugs during a search, and those who planted it perfectly know what he will say: "This is not mine." Nevertheless, the scheme has been working for many years, and in information war, it is still more difficult. So it is pernicious to deny, but it seems that not everyone understands it.
And let me just jump in here, Marina. Let me just jump in. How widespread are these protests? Because, of course, if we look at mainstream media, they show it as if these are massive protests across the nation.
Well, for me, yes, of course, they are not so massive, but they are. There were three main cities of these protests, St. Petersburg, Novosibirsk, Moscow. For example, statistics say that more than 40,000 people came out on the streets only in Moscow. So many Russian cities went out, so main Russian cities. And it's all around Russia. They started in Vladivostok in the morning and it finished at late at night here in Moscow. So it must be also understood that this is not Navalny the main reason of protests or exclusively Western puppeteers as desired by the official authorities and about the Kremlin propagandists. This is the result of the social economic policy of authorities, the result of oligarchic domination. And the West is behind, of course, all the demonstrations because they're using this situation. The U.S. Embassy published the plan of the demonstrators, so there is coordination, of course, but there is a recognition of the world, and Russia is not a subject, but an object of this reconstruction, in their opinion.
Okay. So now, Marina, let me just jump in here. Just one other thing I want to talk about, because despite this, what we're seeing and alleged U.S. interference there, we also have Russian officials saying that they want to, or they're willing to have dialogue with the new Biden administration. Let's talk about that side of things and the likelihood. And what is Russia looking towards? Does Moscow think that this time around Washington is going to deal with them differently?
Well, I read comments read comments of Russian ambassador in Washington, Antonov, and he said during all these 5 days, those days have passed after Biden's inauguration, there was no contact with the Russian embassy in United States. So actually, I don't know about authorities, because their official statement, we are ready to keep dialogue with all political systems, whether they are Democrats or Republicans. But actually, judging by previous administrations, Obama's administrations, I do not think that Russian authorities waiting something good to happen, actually, okay. from Biden administration.
All right. And
that's it.
Okay. And on that note, appreciate you being with us. Marina Kortanova in Moscow. Meanwhile, the United States has reaffirmed its commitment in deepening ties with Taiwan amid rising tension between the self-ruled island and China. The U.S. State Department said Washington will continue to help Taipei maintain sufficient self-defense capability. Spokesman Ned Price also urged China to stop pressuring Taiwan and instead engage in meaningful dialogue with Taiwanese officials. Meanwhile, the U.S. military said an aircraft carrier group led by USS Theodore Roosevelt has entered the South China Sea. That after Taiwan reported an incursion by Chinese warplanes into its air defense identification zone. Beijing is critical of Washington's boosting ties with the island, which it views as part of its own territory. Political analyst Ainer Tangen says the Biden administration seems to have adopted the stance of its predecessor on China.
It's an extremely dangerous situation. What you have is the Biden administration reaffirmed basically the stance that Donald Trump has towards China, which is to, in essence, provoke it with a series of trade and other measures. But they said that they would be adopting different tactics. Unfortunately, their support for Taiwan that was voiced during the confirmation hearings make it very clear that they do not intend to abide by the letter of the One China policy, and this is extremely volatile. These nations could be sleepwalking into war. China, for its part, responded by sending airplanes into space that Taiwan claims for its own. And this is the kind of escalation that everyone has been looking to avoid.
And now it's time for this hour's news review. Well, Scotland's First Minister has vowed to hold a fresh referendum on independence from Britain if her party wins a strong showing in regional elections in May.
I want to have a legal referendum. That's what I'm going to seek the authority of the Scottish people for in May, and if they give me that authority, that's what I intend to do. Have a legal referendum to give people in Scotland the right to choose. That's democracy. It's not about what I want or about what Boris Johnson wants. It's about what the people of Scotland want, and the increasing evidence is that they want independence.
You decide that this was a major problem.
Sturgeon criticized the UK Prime Minister for refusing to agree to another independence vote. She said Boris Johnson is frightened of democracy. Sturgeon's party, the Scottish National Party, has already set out a plan for a referendum. Meanwhile, new polls show a majority of people in Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales are seeking independence from Britain. Scotland held its first independence referendum in 2014. At that time, more than 55% of voters said no to secession from the UK. I'd like to talk to my guests regarding this subject and welcome them. Rob Carter from London and John White, author and commentator out of Edinburgh. Thank you both for being with us. So let's start off with Rob and tell us what's going on in general with this.
Well, the next big looming crisis for the UK could very well be the Scottish independence push and ultimately the breakup of the UK as we know it. As you rightly said in your introduction, it's not just Scotland that is seeing a huge revival in the or momentum in the pro-independence movements. You're also seeing an unprecedented rise in support for Welsh independence in Wales, and also in Ireland as well. There's massive sentiment in favour of reunifying that island and getting the north of Ireland back away from the UK. Obviously, what's led to this kind of renewed push for independence across the bloc, largely because of Brexit, which many of these countries outside of England consider to be basically a massive failure that will cause massive problems for their local economies, and they feel as if they've essentially lost out big time. Scotland, I know for sure, certainly feels that way. And that's why, despite the fact that Westminster is adamant that it won't give the Scots a second chance anytime soon, I think Boris Johnson said that Scotland should wait until at least 2050 for any hopes of another referendum on the subject. They feel as if because of the Brexit crisis and the fact that Scotland voted largely to remain in the European Union, that gives them a renewed reason to give Scots another opportunity, because now they're not just deciding on whether they want to stay a part of the UK, which is in the European Union. They're now deciding whether they're now basically been dragged into a union, which is now in a completely different scenario when it was originally voted on back in back several years ago, a couple of years before even the Brexit referendum.
Well, John, tell me your perspective. I mean, what exactly does it mean? Do you think that, first of all, how difficult is it for these areas to get that referendum? And if they were all to vote to leave, what would it all mean? How would it be shaped, basically?
Well, as a man said, I mean, there's nothing so powerful as an idea whose time has come. And the idea of a breakup of the UK is an idea whose time has come. And in what qualifies as a case of poetic irony, less the harbinger of a new golden age for the UK, which its adherents maintained, Brexit is proving the last brick in the wall of a post-colonial 19th century theme park. And I really do mean 19th century. 19th century levels of child poverty and hunger, 19th century levels of homelessness, 19th century levels of inequality, 19th century levels of carnage, completely avoidable carnage wrought by a global pandemic. So to my mind, it is now inevitable that we are looking at the breakup of the UK within the next few years. And can you imagine, in those few years, when the event does come to pass, though the Union Jack may still fly over the Falkland Islands, 8,000 miles away from the UK, may still fly over Gibraltar and southern Spain, it will no longer fly over Scotland, over Wales, and over the north of Ireland. Yes, it's going to involve a mighty political struggle. This Tory establishment will not want to preside over the breakup of the UK. Boris Johnson will not want his legacy to be dominated by the fact that he was the Prime Minister who, quote unquote, lost Scotland, lost Ireland, and lost Wales. But it's going to happen. It will involve a mighty political struggle, but it's inevitable, it's necessary. It's a necessary corrective to the barbarism that's been wrought by this Tory ruling establishment for far too many years. And I say speed the day.
And on that note, I appreciate both of you being with us. It's Robert Carter out of London and John White, author and commentator out of Edinburgh. Continuing with more news this hour, the United Nations says Yemen's Ansarullah movement and Saudi-backed former government have started talks on a new prisoner exchange. A UN spokeswoman said that talks began in the Jordanian capital on Sunday. She said UN envoy to Yemen Martin Griffiths is also present. Each side has sent four representatives to the negotiations, which aim to free 300 prisoners. They include high-ranking detainees, like the brother of ex-Yemeni President Abdurrahman Mansour Hadi. Griffiths has urged the warring sides to release all detainees as soon as possible. Last year, Ansarullah and the former Yemeni regime exchanged around 1,000 prisoners following a UN brokered deal. And that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, medium wave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
Amirik Shmanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is from India,
listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 24th, 2021. I'm Atefeh Irfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast, or if you have any messages for our dear listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. Dear listeners, these reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to you, dear listeners, throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will normally be receiving a QSL card from us. However, as you know, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus, don't expect a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. So please be patient until we get back on track and until the disease is controlled around the world. And here I truly appreciate those of our dear listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including P.S. Sukar from India, Jacques Agustin from France, and Ossis Hernando from Spain. P.S. Sukar, Jacques, and Ossis Hernando. Here, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. Also, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including an email from Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. Hector is one of our regular listeners. Thank you, Hector. Also, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan. Also, Ivan Zeleny from Russia, one of our regular listeners, has sent us an email. And also, we have another email from Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Thanks a lot. A million thanks to you. We want you to know again how much we value these emails and letters and also your views. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back after the music with all these kind messages just in seconds. Again, welcome to the program. Here we have an email from Chile. This email is from Hector Fria Jofre. Hector, one of our regular listeners, says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, please accept my greetings from the city of Santiago, Chile. Regarding listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I am always attentive. But the bad propagation has not allowed me to have the opportunity to tune in to your radio regularly. However, I do hope that the technical problem will be solved very soon. I will be able to listen to your programs and appreciate the traditional music and interesting programs. Best regards from Santiago." Salam and greetings to you from Iran, Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. I do express my appreciation for writing to IRIB English Radio, dear listener Hector Fria Jofre from Chile. We are so glad that you enjoy our programs. Regarding your notification about having the problem, as you may know, we have a website at that is parstoday.com/en. If you had someday in the future you had a problem with listening to our programs regularly, you can refer to our website, that is www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the archive of our programs there. Anyway, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon. We are waiting for your views about our broadcast. And from Japan, we have an email from Masahiro Kobayashi. Masahiro Kobayashi is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear sir or madam, my name is Masahiro Kobayashi and I live in Japan. I heard one of your stations some time ago and sent a reception report, but the mail was rejected. I'm not sure where to mail it, so I'm sending it to you via post. I will be pleased if this report is verified. Sincerely yours." Greetings to you, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan, and many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Regarding your confusion about sending your emails, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the needed information about the email address or other addresses of our radio. Of course, I will refer to my colleagues about this problem. I mean, rejection of your email. But anyway, for the time being, you can refer to our website, and there you can find the information about the exact email address. Thank you again, Masahiro Kobayashi from Japan, for sending this email to IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future, Masahiro. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Welcome back. Here we have an email from Russia. This email is from Ivan Zeleny, one of our regular listeners. Ivan Zeleny says, thank you very much for your email. In our city, real winter has already come. The air temperature at night drops significantly. The good news is the transmission of radio signals in the short and medium waves is getting better every day, and the broadcasting of the Islamic Republic of Iran sounds even louder and cleaner. I'm glad to know that your radio station is listened to in many countries of the world, and not only by Muslims, but also by representatives of other faiths and cultures. And many people, including myself, really like to learn about traditions, crafts, life, architecture, sites, poetry, and cultural events in Iran. I'd like to listen to more cultural programs and also political programs, more Iranian folk music and poetry, as well as information for tourists, and more people will be able to visit Iran and see everything with their own eyes, rather than learning about it from propaganda hostile radio and television programs from those who do not respect the culture of the traditions of Iran. The cinema of Iran is also very interesting because there are films with a very deep meaning and about the life situations of any person who lives not only in Iran but all around the world. I have watched several Iranian films directed by Abbas Kiarostami in particular. Therefore, if possible, tell in your programs about the latest in the film industry of Iran. It's very good if you can send electronic QSL cards, because often due to different problems such as coronavirus pandemic, letters practically do not reach your regular radio listeners. Therefore, the idea of sending EQSL is just great and less financially costly and faster. I wish all IRIB employees all the best and success and quality programs. Salam and greetings to you, Ivan Zeleny from Russia. This greeting is from IRIB English Radio and the Islamic Republic of Iran. Many thanks for writing such interesting email to IRIB English Radio. Of course, Ivan Zeleny from Russia, we want you to know that we very much value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. This was such a nice and interesting and really inspiring message. As I have, realized that you enjoyed our programs. As you said, you like Iranian folk music and poetry, and it seems that you enjoyed the kind of programs in IRIB English Radio that is about the culture and traditions of Iran. Of course, we have different programs about the culture and traditions of Iran, including Close Up Iran. We have Iranian Market and different kinds of programs that are available now in the in the archive of our programs, and some of them are broadcasting in different days of the week. As I said, like the Iranian Market, like the Close Up Iran, and different kinds of programs. as you said, of course, thanks God. It seems that you're enjoying better service. I mean, the signals, as you said, the transmission of radio signals in short and medium waves are getting better every day, and the broadcasting of Arab English radio sounds even louder and cleaner, and it's great. And also, it's a pleasure, as you said, we have different listeners around the world, in many countries of the world, and not only by Muslims, by Muslim countries. We have different listeners around the world in different kinds, in different faiths and cultures around the world, and it's a pleasure for us in IRB English Radio. And it seems that you enjoy the Iranian cinema. Of course, we have broadcast a series about Iranian films and cinema, and in the future, of course, we will broadcast programs about the Iranian films and Iranian cinema in the future, in soon in the future, of course. And nice suggestion, sending electronic QSL card. Thank you. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, it was such a nice message. Thanks a lot. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Ivan Zeleny from Russia, we wish you all the best. Write to us soon. Thank you. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. It was such a nice and beautiful piece of Iranian folk music. And here we have an email from Portugal. This email is from Paulo Duarte. Paulo Duarte says, thank you for your reply. I'd like to receive QSL cards from your radio stations, but unfortunately, I don't listen shortwave radios anymore, and the only I access your broadcasts through internet. And of course, I listen to your radio via your website, and I have to say that your website condition is very good. I just don't know about your program's schedule. Could you please send me a copy of that, please? First of all, greetings to you, Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Thanks a lot for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. I don't know why you don't have the access to listen to shortwave radios, but I hope in the near future, you can gain access to listening to shortwave radios, and of course, IRB English Radio shortwave. That's great. For the time being, you have access to our website, yes. And about your trouble and your confusion about having access to program's schedule, I inform you here that you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/EN, and then you can get the program's schedule there. Thanks a lot for writing to IRIB English Radio, Paulo Duarte from Portugal. Dear listeners, time tells me we have to skip to the other part of our program, that is today's interview. This interview is conducted with one of our regular listeners. Please take a listen.
My name is Chris Jensen. I'm living in Belgium. I'm Belgian. I'm working as a civil servant for the government here in Belgium, but I also travel a lot because traveling is my passion, and especially traveling to the Middle East. I've been visiting many countries in the Middle East, and I visited also Iran, which was a very, very nice experience. I'm listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, so Tehran Radio, and several mediums. I'm listening to it on shortwave, but also on the internet and on satellite. And I think that's the future, because a lot of people think that shortwave is an old technology, which is dying at the moment. But I don't believe this. I think if you want to reach the world, you have to use a media mix. So it's not if, but and. So I listen on different medium to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. So to my opinion, shortwave is still alive and it's not a dead medium. I think it has still a bright future in it. Yes, I want to send my greetings to everyone, and I call upon them to, if they can, visit Iran yourselves, because, as I said before, there are many misconceptions about Iran here in the Western world, and my experience last year was a wonderful experience. I experienced Iran as a very friendly country with friendly people. It's a very modern country with good infrastructure. And everywhere where I came, people were open to me, people tried to help me. So I'm calling upon the listeners, please visit the country yourself. It's the best way to get an idea about Iran and to learn about the country.
And here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Keep in touch and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Polling from Gallup shows that only 34% of Americans approve of the way Trump performed his job, his lowest approval rating in that poll specifically. In this regard, we have prepared an article for you written by Chris Walker, journalist. This article is published under the heading, Trump Departs Washington with Lowest Approval Ratings of His Presidency. Stay tuned for the details, please. Donald Trump departed Washington, D.C. on Wednesday, January 20th, for his Mar-a-Lago estate in Palm Beach, Florida, his last time doing so as President of the United States, as his term of office expired. Trump left the White House by helicopter around 8 a.m. on Wednesday morning, January 20th. Shortly after, he arrived at a send-off ceremony at Joint Base Andrews. NBC News described that send-off for Trump as a rally-like setup that featured a red carpet for departing commander-in-chief. American flags and banners were strewn about the base, with loud music playing as people waited for his arrival, waving him off as he boarded Air Force One a final time as president. Per reporting from CNN's Jake Tapper, the final song playing on the speakers was Frank Sinatra, My Way, perhaps symbolic of stubborn and bull-headed governing style that Trump employed while serving in the White House. Trump broke with tradition as president by not participating in the peaceful transfer of power in more ways than one. Aside from being the first president in decades not to attend his successor swearing-in ceremony, Trump also spent the past several months disputing the outcome of his election loss to Joe Biden, who defeated Trump by an electoral college margin of 74, that is, Biden 306 votes to Trump's 232. Trump's refusal to accept the results, arguing falsely and without proof of any kind of that his loss was the result of election fraud, came to a head when, on January 6th, he held a rally outside the White House where hundreds of his supporters had gathered to hear him speak. By many people's accounts, his words that day encouraged the mob of his loyalists at that rally to violently breach the Capitol building during the certification of his political opponent's win, an action that is unheard of and unprecedented in the history of the United States. Because of Trump's refusal to accept the results of Biden's win, and because of the way his words likely incited a mob of his loyalists to try and disrupt the process of certifying the Electoral College results, Trump left office with some of his worst polling numbers since the start of his presidency. Polling from Gallup, for example, shows that only 34% of Americans approve of the way he has performed his job, his lowest approval rating in that poll specifically. Trump never received an approval rating of 50% or higher in Gallup's set of polls during his presidency, only getting as high as 49% approval in the short period of time after his acquittal in the Senate, following his impeachment in the House, but before the coronavirus pandemic took off in the U.S. Trump's dismal approval rating from Gallup as he left office is actually 1 point lower than what is shortly after he described white supremacists and neo-Nazis who attacked counter-protesters at a Unite Right rally in the summer of 2017 as very fine people. A look at an average of Trump's polling numbers according to data compiled at realclearpolitics.com shows just how tumultuous his time as president truly was. Trump took office with the country divided, winning the presidency but losing the popular vote. In his first week as president, much of the country appeared willing to at least give Trump a chance, with 44.3% expressing approval on average in polls and 44.2% expressing disapproval. But as time went by, and after a number of controversial statements and actions from Trump clearly demonstrated that he was not interested in becoming a unifying figure, the gap between his approval and disapproval rating widened, with a net disapproval rating lasting throughout his tenure after that first week in office. Even though he departs with such a low approval rating, the outgoing president promised that he would make a return to politics in the future. "I will be watching. I will be listening," Trump said in his remarks, adding later, "We will be back in some form." As Trump leaves the White House, his successor enters office with high favorability rating. A new CNN SSRS poll released recently shows that 66% of Americans approve of the way Biden has handled the transition period, with 59% giving him positive favorability ratings overall.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The Europeans' empty promises after the U.S. withdrew from the JCPOA.
This is part of a televised speech delivered on July 31st, 2020 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the occasion of Eid al-Adha.
The Europeans didn't do anything. Their last miracle was a stupid game called Instex, which has not become operational yet. It has not been put in place yet. In some, Instex means that Iran should give to their European excellencies, for example, to the French and the English, the money that the others owe to us so that they will buy every product that they deem good and send it to Iran. This is what Instex means. This is a wrong measure in itself, but they have not fulfilled this very promise either. The cure for sanctions is to activate domestic capacities. Of course, this requires hard work and diligence. We should work hard. This is another point.
Your light and love, all I see. Nothing more I'd ever want to need. My Lord, protect me from dishonor. Grant me faith to be stronger.
I wish to say something about the economic issues of the country. Well, the country has certain problems in terms of people's livelihood issues. Families really have serious livelihood problems. Prices are high, and this should be remedied. Of course, I have spoken to officials in private meetings, or I have sent them messages about the things that should be done. I have spoken to Mr. President, and I have also sent messages to other officials so that they will do certain things. However, I wish to stress again that the organizations in charge should pay attention to this point. In the area of economic problems, certain issues are urgent, and certain issues require long-term and mid-term measures.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.